Oh, right. On this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to headline BKFC 37, and that all goes down on March the 4th. Jake Lindsay getting out there, knuckling up, and toeing the line against Connor Tierney, and happy to be welcoming Connor onto the show for the first time. How's everything going, man?
Yeah, everything's going good. Just deep in camp now these last 4 or 5 weeks. I'm suffering just getting the weight down, so... Yeah, you can see, you can probably hear it in my voice. I sound a bit depleted and tired, but this is always the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, is 165 a bit of a like a rougher cut for you? Like, based on what you're saying, it sounds like you've navigated a path to getting there consistently, but is it arduous to a degree still, even though you've mapped it out pretty clearly?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a lot tougher. I'm getting older as well now. Obviously, when I was 25, 26, and you know, cutting weight back then, it wasn't so hard. But obviously, as time's gone on, it's getting harder. And I mean, I'm coming down from like 100, well, nearly 200 pounds to 165, you know, which is a lot of weight to cut in the space of 8-9 weeks. So yeah, I mean, I think just part of the process, and it's knowing how to do it, monitoring the weight and seeing what's working best for me. I've just done 2-3 weeks feeling like I was on top of the world and I was cutting weight, to find out I've only lost about 8 pounds. So I've really had to change things up this week, which is a bit annoying, but at least I'm quite fit at the moment.
Yeah, well, good timing with like how much you've, you know, mastered the science of kind of getting down there, because I was relatively recently talking to David Feldman, and he was saying that Gorjan Slaveski would be next to fight for the welterweight title in June against either Luis Palomino or the winner of yourself versus Jake Lindsay if Palomino chooses to vacate. What are your thoughts on that dynamic?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of expecting Luis to vacate. I know that he's out of contract, and as much as I was chasing him, and I think the fight with me and Lewis is much more of a £165 top class contention fight than Gogo and Palomino. I think that Lewis has done a bit in the sport now, and he just wants the paydays, don't he? So I don't think he'll be vacating. I don't think he'll be defending that belt. I think he'll be chasing the like the Diego Sanchez fights and stuff like that now. He wants extra UFC names, doesn't he, to boost his profile? And he ain't going to get it by Diego just getting a 165 shot after Austin Trout. That can't happen. So I think he'll vacate, and he's going to be the winner of me and Lindsay against Gogo.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if you caught that BKFC 35 performance. Like, what were your thoughts on what Gogo was able to do there, and I guess just his broader run overall in BKFC?
So I've got something to say about, obviously, Gogo. When I watched a couple of things, I thought he was a huge threat. And then I watched the opposition he was fighting against. You know, when the opposition wasn't much, I mean, he's had two tough fights now. One against Cedeno, who really, really didn't show up. And, well, to be fair, I don't think Cedeno's a great fighter anyway. And in that Kurdanov, is it Kurdanov, the Russian fighter?
Yeah.
I think he fought. And that was probably his best performance. Every other one than that has been quite sloppy, falls in over his work. And whether or not he's 5-0, it doesn't change the fact that I know he's done it in a year, but he's never sort of fought at that level. So when you look at the likes of myself at 7-1, and I've been doing it for 4 years, I've had 8 fights in 4 years, but I'm doing it in a slow process where I'm studying the game and I'm learning. And the reason I'm getting so good is because I'm taking the harder fights less times a year, where he's sort of done a bit, almost like a crash course. So his experience in it seems a lot when he's 5-0. But he's done a crash course within about 12 months, 5 fights, doing taking short notice fights. And that's all good and stuff to build the name. But now he's jumped the queue and got straight up to, you know, title contention. And no offence to him, I think he's a good guy, he can strong and he's bang, but technically I don't think he's great at all. I think he'd get found out by good fighters like Palomino and myself, and I think Lindsay will beat him. I think out of the real contenders now in this division, I think it probably is me and Lindsay are the top contenders. And I think, you know, Gogo's just done well to get where he has, but I do think it's a bit of a crash course. sort of experience where he's got to the level he has. He hasn't really done it over a long period of time and been in there against, you know, high level opponents. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how it goes. Obviously, with me and Lindsay, I'm obviously looking to get the win. And I'm pretty positive that I'll be fighting Gogo late summer for the title.
Yeah, you talk about like certain aspects of what Gogo has done being kind of impressive, but at the same time, you think maybe he would, I guess, get exposed by some of the higher end fighters in the division. Like, what are your thoughts on what Jake Lindsay has been able to do so far? Because he's, you know, put together, you know, three pretty comprehensive wins, at least like from my layman kind of perspective. Like, what do you think he really has been doing in his run so far? Like, I guess, what are your thoughts on his BKFC run up until this juncture?
I mean, from what I've seen on the last fight, I thought he was getting I think he was getting beat up a bit by Brandon Gutz. Don't think he really knew how to deal with the style. And then, obviously, Brandon got stopped on the cut. So, all three of his fights have come by knockout, but they haven't come by knockout. They've come by retirement. I mean, Brandon was stopped on a cut. I think Derek retired in the corner. And was it Eric either? Eric stopped or retired in the corner? I'm not sure. So, I mean, he's the level up of opposition again, isn't it? Derek didn't really do much. Derek's a very small fighter, sort of circled the ring, you know. Didn't really have many answers for Jake. Eric's very, I like Eric, but, you know, he's technically not great at all winning. The test he had against Brandon, I felt like Brandon sort of put a lot of pressure on him and backed him up a lot, but then obviously got stopped on the cut. But from what I've seen of him, I do think he's a clever fighter. He's very similar to myself. He stands upright. And for me, it's my toughest test because I'd rate him as a technically a better fighter than Joe and Jeremiah because of the way he boxes. Like, he thinks about his shots. He doesn't sort of rush in and throw for the sake of it. And he thinks almost like me. So I think it's going to be a quarter tactical fight, to be honest.
Yeah, and it seems like an important one too, just with it being, you know, in London, England and stuff like that. And obviously no stranger to competing on that circuit with your tremendous like BKB resume before coming over. But I would think this would be a good one, just like headlining a big BKFC show over there and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've done in my whole bare knuckle career now, I've done 3 co-main events, and this will be my second headline. I actually headlined a BKB on the prize fighter final. When I'd done the final at the end of the night, that was the headline event that was when I got to the final. And I knocked out James Kennelly. That was the main event of that show, and that was a big show. That was about 2,500 there. Then I've obviously done the co-main at New York. Then I've done the co-main at Wembley in front of 6,000. And now I'm main event in Crystal Palace again in front of 2,000. So I think in terms of the moment and the atmosphere and the pressure, I've been there every time, do you know what I mean? In my last good few fights. I mean, I co-mained obviously the lockdown show for BKB when I won the world title. And then I think I've just sort of been on that co-main to main event now for the past couple of years. So I think I'm used to it. Whereas Jake now, this is all new to a main event, you know. But I don't think it's going to bother him. I don't think that's going to bother him at all. If anything, it's going to spur him on, isn't it? I think we both know that we're going to be next for the title, but I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive, I don't think Jake's going to get past me. I think I'm just going to be too good for him on the night.
And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on something you mentioned in there, just having fought twice in one night before in bare knuckle there and winning that prize fighter tournament. Can you kind of talk about like how different the methodology is fighting multiple times in one night in bare knuckle versus just kind of like the one and done? Because I'm very curious. That's like not, you know, super prevalent at the very least. So like, what's the differing methodology fighting multiple times in one night for bare knuckle versus like fighting a singular time?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it, as well? Like, I'm the only fighter in the whole of the BKFC roster that has fought 2 bare knuckle fights in one night and won both. And, yeah, it's a completely different scenario. You don't know how to prepare for it. You know, you've got to beat the guy that's in front of you in order to fight in the final. So, regardless of the matter, you can't really hold back. It's not like you can hold back and think, you know what, I'll save my energy. You've just got to push through it. And I think a lot of the heart and the desire got me through that. Like, my first one, I just absolutely, my boxing skills were precise. I boxed the head off him. I cut him up to pieces and he retired in the corner. By stoppage, they stopped it. And then I had to wait in the ring, right, for the main event, for the finalist who won the previous fight to me, to do his second ring walk. I had to wait then, so then I had to stay warm for about 15 to 20 minutes while the post show, you know, the post fight with the other opponent, then announcing the other finalist. And it was all sort of trying to psych myself up, you know, because like I just fought, and after you've just fought normally, like, you know, your body just sort of shuts down, it just slowly like goes through a shutdown. You just want to go and sit down and have a rest and chill out. But it was like I had to get myself back into the zone again, because I've got a fight now. I've got another fight. So, yeah, it was completely different. Like, it's so hard to explain. But, I done really well. I won both fights. So I think, to be fair, that's probably my greatest ever achievement in bare-knuckle, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely saying something, because you also were able to capture a lineal belt in BKB and kind of just where you're at now, like very close proximity to a BKFC belt. So that's really saying something. I guess I'm kind of curious, is there like almost a like residual benefit for your mentality heading into these fights, just in the sense of, I mean, obviously you're fighting a tough guy, so not overlooking that part of it, but just in the sense of, oh, well, I only got to fight once tonight. I'm not fighting, you know, multiple times.
Yeah, I think it's added more pressure every fight. With BKFC as well, like, they had a lot of bad taste with Tyler, left a bit of a bad taste in everyone's mouth when he bigged himself up into being the monster, went over there. I mean, he's a good lad, Tyler, but, you know, he scraped the decision against Charles, then he got beat up by Palomino. And then, obviously, then Mickey Terrell went over there and then, obviously, had the illness. And everyone was like, there's no UK fighters, I'm making, like, no British fighters come over and done anything special. So the added pressure was when I went and fought Riggs and pulled that performance off. Like, then that's when everyone was like, whoa, hang on a minute, British fighters are not that bad. So I always sort of paved the way, in a sense, for the UK fighters in BKFC. I mean, you got to think, from my fight in BKFC, how big I've blown up off the Riggs win, the debut, then BKFC announced they're coming to London for the UK for the first time and a co-main that. It's almost like I've been like the little pioneer in UK bare knuckle for BKFC now. So, I mean, like I say, like every fight, rather than not fighting two fights, it's, I think the fights are getting bigger and bigger for me now. So there's more to lose, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And that Riggs fight was such a great way to launch yourself on the BKFC localized kind of scene. I felt like that was like one of the big emphatic performances in, you know, 2022. But I just love the adaptability too. Like, it seemed like that was a big thing throughout the Joe Elmore fight. Like, I was seeing an interview where you were talking about how, like, the, I guess, game plan, like general methodology you had coming in, it kind of shifted throughout the fight, and you adopted more of like a, I guess, pressure-minded kind of approach to kind of like undulate with what Joe Elmore is doing. Like, how important is it to, you know, have that adaptability? Because like you're talking about being one of like the higher end kind of experienced guys in the sport. Like, do you think it really comes from that, like your ability to be fluid with the adaptations and everything?
Yeah, I think I've been boxing for 20 years now as well. Look, I've been in the game for a very long time, amateur, and one thing you've learned is as I've got older and as I've got more mature in combat sports, you learn a lot and you do have to adapt and you do have to learn every fight what to do, and it's like about figuring out what works for you and try not to change it. And from every fight I've won, I've been on my toes, I've boxed in and out, I've been beautiful with my technique and my skill. I've never tried to, you know, try and go toe-to-toe with someone. I mean, the last time I've done that was the actual world title fight with Canelli at BKB. And for me, that wasn't a great performance for me. That was an off-day performance. And you could tell with that, because my face got marked up pretty bad where I was getting caught, where I was trying to walk in and try and fight and stuff. So I think, yeah, I've stuck to, like, my guns with my game plan. And everyone devises a game plan when they're at top. But it takes that little bit more of a special fighter to understand how to adapt and understand the situation, especially with the Elmore fight. Like, I realised the first round I felt like it was very cagey, and I don't know how good I look when I'm in there. And then I felt like I lost the end of the first when he caught me in the clinch, and then I went back to the corner. If you actually see it on the telly, I'm like effing and blinding to the coach, going, "I've lost that, I've lost." He's going, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." You know, you're getting told in, like you're trying too hard. You need to just get back on boxing in 2, 3, 4. You know, that's when I started flowing in, and then I was coming back with a smile on my face, knowing I've got this now. I know what I'm doing. It's about adapting, and that's what I think maybe 20% of the roster in BKFC can do. I think 80% still don't understand how to learn and adapt from fights, because it is very much barbaric and brutal and almost like a street fight in some occasions. So for the higher calibre fighters such as myself and the other guys, you know, who are at the top and champions and stuff, we all have to learn every fight, and we all have to bring that knowledge into every fight to adapt if we encounter different problems.
Yeah, and that's been exciting even from my perspective, just kind of seeing the development of bare knuckle, I mean, at least domestically, because I feel like at first it was almost like this, you know, explosive kind of spectacle, or at the very least, like people's, you know, perceptions at the time relative to how they, you know, knew bare knuckle boxing. That's kind of how it was interpreted, but it feels like there's like a deeper understanding of like that fight IQ and like an emerging kind of high IQ, you know, fight IQ kind of minded thing with like the higher end, like bare knuckle fighters. Like, I feel like your elusiveness, like, really kind of conveys that as well. I mean, I feel like a lot of that would come from like, you know, gloved boxing and previous efforts, but just how different are the, I guess, you know, defensive amendments in bare knuckle? Because I mean, in gloved sport, obviously there's like a lot of defensive opportunity that, you know, the gloves provide you and stuff like that. Is like a lot of the defensive measures in BKFC more about that, like lateral movement and footwork and stuff like that more so?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. The defensive mechanism in boxing with gloves is when you get tired, you can sit on the ropes and take shots on the gloves. Whereas in bare knuckle, you can't. You just physically can't take shots on the hands. If you're getting punched in the palm, I don't know what you call it, the back of the hand, the palm, not the, almost the rear palm of the hand, you're risking them breaking your hands. So the punch, the fists are smaller, they slip through the guard a lot easier. It's like the ring is almost like an electric fence to me. It's like once my back's on it, I've got to get off it because I'm in dangerous territory. The defence is completely different. The parrying's different. The distance, the timing. It's a completely different sport to anything else that I've ever experienced. And to master it, like, and get good at it, obviously, you know, is a positive for what I've been doing. But definitely working on a lot. I've worked on a lot of defence, a lot of head movement. You notice in my fights, I never stop moving. Chris Lowell says it, you know, the footwork constantly moving, because as soon as I plant my feet and start sitting in the pocket, I'm giving them a target to start hitting. Once I'm back moving in angles, in and out, head movement, you know, a moving target's so hard to pin down that they don't throw many shots. So it just makes the fight a lot easier to deal with. So yeah, that's my sort of defensive mechanism. He's fighting a little bit in and out, looking for counters, a lot of my head movement, circling the ring and using my footwork.
Yeah, it's like a very good confluence of like the defensive responsibility, but also being very, you know, active offensively and stuff like that. Like, it seems like a good marrying of the two forces and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, to be fair. It's worked for me, it's great, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. It's been very, you know, intriguing to follow and stuff like that. Definitely some, you know, great efforts so far in BKB and, yeah, also, you know, BKFC too. So it's been great to follow along with. But I'm curious, like, where you're mostly, like, training at. Like, I saw you with MVP shortly before he was getting ready for his BKFC debut at London Shoot Fighters. And I've seen different videos of you kind of hitting the wooden Muay Thai boards and stuff like that. Like, are you mostly working at London Shoot Fighters, or like, where would you say is your primary, I guess, gym that you're working at?
My primary gym is Fitness Factory, where I've been working with Simon now since 2019. Since I've worked with Simon, I haven't lost a fight yet, so I'm not gonna fix what's not broken quite yet. But Shoot Fighters, Alexis and Paul, the guys down there, I've got to know really well. I was with them at the KSI fight the other day, to be fair, because they train KSI JJ. and we were chatting, and they were saying, whenever you want to come down and do some work. So I'll be back in touch with them soon. So if I need to get down and do some work. And yeah, my main dream's Fitness Factory. Then my coach, Simon Aycock, who's been in my corner for the last 4 wins. So I've got to stay with what's working for me and try not to fix it, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, funny you mentioned KSI. I saw you had like a picture with him relatively recently and everything, and it still seems like you're very much interwoven into the, you know, gloved boxing world as much as you're doing, you know, great things in bare knuckle. Like I saw the, you know, Tyson and John Fury like good luck message, and saw like a picture of you with Derek Chisora and whatnot. Like, could you see yourself still taking more, you know, gloved boxing bouts as it goes on? Like, are you looking to maybe getting one of those Misfits boxing cards with KSI or something like that, or what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in sort of, you know, conversations in the background, and obviously if that's something, so okay with Dave Feldman, you know, I can have them sort of exhibition fights against ex-MMA fighters and celebrities, and it's boosting my profile, and it's good for the company as well. It's good for BKFC, because the more people that tune into Misfits and end up watching me, the more people that either hate me or love me get to watch me and then want to start watching whatever I'm doing. And bare knuckle obviously is where I'm going to be hopefully, like, you know, reigning with as a champion and stuff. So I'm definitely aiming to get on the Misfits cards, on the Global Titans cards. I've got a lot of contacts that I've made over the past 12 months. I mean, they're with a lot of high profile boxers, celebrities, and yeah, it's all working out for me at the moment. So yeah, that, I'm not going to lie, that's definitely a target of mine, to get on one of them shows this year and get some more fans in, you know what I mean? Trying to create some more noise, get some more attention on my name, definitely.
Yeah, it seems like it has the potential to, you know, be a big year. Like, you talk about wanting to do some gloved boxing there. It seems like you want to have a title fight at St. Andrews Stadium. So it seems like a lot's in the works here, potentially.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm aiming towards, to be fair, as well as my bare knuckle in the background. If I'm honest, then, you know, just trying to become as high a profile as I can possibly get to in order to demand the better paychecks, because, you know, I'm 28 years of age now and I need to be looking at, you know, I don't really want to be fighting for a very long time. I mean, a lot of ex-MMA fighters are like 35 to 40. I've been boxing since I was eight years of age, and I don't really want to be doing it for another 3, 4, 5 years. You know, I want to try to do 2, 3 years maximum now and make as much money and get the biggest fights, you know, almost cement a bit of a legacy for myself before I get out of the sport. And this is why I'm making it, you know, intertwining with all these different people, high profile, looking at getting on these boxing cards, staying as a bare knuckle, trying to win a title in BKFC. Like, it's all going to add up, you know, and hopefully give me the best financial opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're positioning yourself well, for sure. And yeah, a lot of great things, you know, coming up, one could infer. It seems like you have good momentum in that sense. I guess kind of like analyzing this card too, one of the questions that I had, because you do only have that lone blemish on the bare knuckle record, and I noticed Rico Franco is actually going to be, you know, on this event too. And I know the timing isn't necessarily perfect, like right now per se. Like, I know he's kind of coming off a bit of a stretch, like 1-2, and lost the BKB title, and he's readying to, you know, make his BKFC debut. But is that a rematch that you could see, you know, coming to fruition one day? Is that one you'd particularly want to get back in, like, a redemptive kind of sense, or are you not thinking of it like that?
Not anymore. I was when I'd lost to him, and then I'd won a couple of fights, and I called him out, and he was saying, no, you're not worth it, you're not this, you're not that. And, you know, then in the end, I just gave up trying to get a rematch when I'd done my own thing. And now I look back as one of the, you know, probably, you know, the best bare knuckle fighter in the UK. He got knocked out by Laurent Nelson, which, no offence, I don't think Laurent's great at all. You know, and Laurent sort of gave him a bit of a hiding. And then obviously he's asked to leave BKB. They've let him go because I feel like he's lost his last 2 fights and his markability is not as good. He's come across the BKFC, and I think now he's obviously trying to push for the rematch, but I think it's a bit too late for that now, because, you know, I asked for it before, and now all of a sudden, like, he wants to come over after 2 losses and get that immediate rematch, but he's got to understand that I'm on a 6-fight win streak, so I'm not really going to take a step back yet. I mean, if he comes through Dan Breeze, which Dan's a good friend of mine, and Dan's a really, really good boxer, and Dan, I think, will beat him, to be fair. If Dan's fit and his head's in the game, Dan's a much better boxer than Rico. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, definitely, we can get it on Dan alone. If I'm at a bit of a lower point in my career and he's just coming up a bit and it makes sense. But at the moment, for me, I'm in total contention now. So I need to be focusing on the top and not looking back and trying to take a step back and go for rematches that don't make sense at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, different, like, trajectories at this point. Like I was saying, you have the longer streak, and he kind of needs to, like, you know, get a touch more consistency going. Like I said, just in the sense of him being, like, 1-2 across the last few. So, yeah, no, thought to get some insights in that sense, and I appreciate you giving those. I guess one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on here, like, I think it's interesting that you're, at least per this article, I'm not sure if it's still the case, but working full-time as a quantity surveyor as well as, you know, simultaneously doing what you're doing in bare knuckle. Is that kind of, you know, still the case and everything?
That's still the case, yeah. Why have one paycheck when you can have two? So, yeah, no, I'm good at my job. I handle a lot of different contracts. I like my job. It's flexible and, you know, it keeps a roof over my head. My bill's paid. So I'm happy to carry on doing my job and training in the background twice a day and stuff. Because basically, bare knuckles like my pocket money, my good pocket money. So, you know, I've got my job to pay all my bills, and then it's nice to have two sets of income. So, yeah, I'm still a quantity surveyor, and I'm aiming, unless I make it big time, I'm aiming to stay like that and for the foreseeable.
Like, what exactly does one do as a quantity surveyor? I admittedly don't really know what that is. I'm kind of curious.
So a quantity surveyor is somebody who manages contracts cost-wise, does prices up the contract, manages the cost against the value of the contract, and make sure the cost comes under the value to make a percentage. So, for instance, if I go out and price £1 million project and I want to make 10%, I've got to at least make sure that the cost is underneath 900k. So then I've got to monitor the cost and, you know, and pay the contractors, you know, manage it with the project manager, have reviews and stuff, and make sure that we finish the job at 10%. So that's exactly what a quantity surveyor does, is going out and pricing massive projects and billing them and obviously completing, like, new builds, tower builds, refurbishments, and making sure they're coming at a budget and also being able for us to profit and make money.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting enough line of work, something that could probably, like, stimulate one's mind if they're, like, you know, inclined to, you know, get in that kind of work and stuff like that. It seems like mathematics intensive a little bit. So, yeah, no, cool that you're getting a couple bags there and everything, but it's been really, you know, good getting to, you know, talk to you today and everything, man. I appreciate you making some time ahead of this fight, but I do want to let you get on with the rest of your day too. I don't want to be talking your ear off too much. So is there anything you might want to add as, like, a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, Connor?
Yeah, just, you know, make sure everybody's going to tune in March the 4th, because we're going to see one of the highest caliber of fights in BKFC at 165. And be making sure to carry on watching my journey as I go on to win the world title straight after this.
Yeah, a lot of strong title implications here. And yeah, very intriguing fight at BKFC 37, and looking forward to March 4th to see how everything unfolds with that Jake Lindsey fight. So thanks again for coming on and giving great insights, man. Looking forward to keeping that fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Connor.
You too. Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate it.